again welcome you, and Dr. Lisa said come down and get rested, but I don't know if we can get any rest. Get comfortable, yes, he said comfortable. Yes, yes. Get comfortable, but prepare to be challenged. Amen?
Amen.
Get comfortable, but prepare to be challenged. We are here today to receive, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're here to receive. So you know, when you're preparing, you know, I remember going to school, going to college, I wasn't getting comfortable. Now, you know, it was like learning, isn't that right? I'm looking right at you, right? It's like, you know, you don't get too comfortable. You got homework to do, right? You got things to learn. So, you know, yeah, get comfortable, drink some water and whatnot, but stay alert, amen?
Yeah.
Stay alert, stay awake, stay alert. You don't want things to go past you and you missed it because you was relaxing. We're not here to relax. This is a work day. Amen?
Yeah.
Some of you took off from work. But you took off from work to come to work. Amen?
Amen?
It's a work day. So we're going to work. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I rolled up my sleeves because we're going to work.
Amen?
Amen. We're going to work. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the title of our conference, at least I should say a title that I gave to the section that I'm responsible for, is Sharpening the Leadership Sword. Amen?
Amen.
That's the title that I shouldn't say I gave, because I received it. I received the title, Sharpening the Leadership Sword. And I said, well, that don't make any sense. Sharpening the Leadership Sword, what does that mean? Hey, I just put it the way I got it, okay? Sharpening the Leadership Sword. And I want to go probably a little bit out of order, but I want to start with number 3. If you go to your manuals, you'll see a section, I think it's past the blue pages, a section called Sharpening the Leadership Sword. And in that section, you'll see, keep going, some of you, yeah, there it is right there. I see one. After the yellow, is it?
Yes.
After the yellow, you'll see it looks like this, Sharpening the Leadership Sword.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now you see Sharpening the Leadership Sword. We may not get to actually cover all of this today, but you'll have it. Amen?
Amen.
You'll have it. So Sharpening the Leadership Sword, if you have the table of contents, if you don't have it yet, let me know. So everybody has it?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to go to number 4 called Others May, In Fact They Will, You May Not. Others may, in fact they will, you may not. I believe it's on page
9.
9, yes, page 9. Others may, in fact they will, you may not. We have some that are still finding seats, and I'm going to just pause while we all get settled so we're all on the same page. Others may, in fact they will, but you may not. I imagine that since you're here, we talked about coming here from distances, from Maryland, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, even Afghanistan. Long distance. Pastor Tyler's here from Afghanistan. And he's going to tell us a little bit more about what he's doing in Afghanistan, I'm sure.
Amen.
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 As we go on. But if you've come this far, I imagine, for a conference that's entitled a leadership conference, then I am sure that you've made certain decisions. You wouldn't be here. You know, you wouldn't take the day off from work. You wouldn't take time to travel this far for a conference of which the subject matter is leadership, if you haven't believed already that God has called you to leadership capacity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So you accept the challenge for leadership capacity. And so since you accept the challenge for leadership capacity, I know that I'm talking to the right group.
Amen.
You know, it's almost a good thing that we move the conference, you know, so you would have to travel to it. You have to be intentional about coming to a conference such as this, because now you can be pulled aside towards the leadership initiative. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I am saying to you today that as a leader, as a spiritual leader, we're not just talking about, you know, political leaders or leaders of society. We're talking about leadership in things that have eternal value. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we're talking about. We're talking about godly leadership, you know, of people towards God's initiatives. Aren't we?
Amen.
Okay. So if you are a leader, a spiritual leader, or a spiritual leader in training, then you will need to have a life that is totally committed to God. A life that's totally committed to God. A life that's totally committed to God. If in any way, shape, or form you attempt to bring into that life worldly influences, if you attempt to bring into that life a life that you say is totally committed to God, secular pleasures and worldly influences and thoughts and motives and things of that nature, then that all by itself makes it no longer a life that's totally committed to God. Isn't that right?
Amen.
It's no longer a life that's totally committed to God, because you now have other priorities. You now have other influences that are influencing you, so you no longer have a life that is totally committed to God. Now, I believe that we are all called to lead. See, this, I believe that we're all called to leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You, many of you have heard me say, when I talk about your sphere of influence, and how you have a sphere of influence, and how you are a unique individual. There's never, ever been an individual created with the influence that you have. Never will be an individual created by God in this universe like you. Nobody. Nobody. There has been nobody. There will be nobody ever that could replace you on the earth. Nobody. When I first heard that, I started asking questions. What do you mean? I mean, there are people greater than me. There are people with more influence than I have. You know, surely God could use somebody else. And the Holy Spirit started to explain to me how there is nobody. There is nobody. There may be other great men and other great women in the world, but they have their sphere of influence. This teaching came to me as I was also studying kingdom. And my kingdom and my priestly responsibility. You know, your kings and priests, king of what? I ain't hardly got nothing. Priest of what? And God began to show me how I have a domain of responsibility, how I have a domain of influence, and how I manage that domain. That's my kingdom responsibility. Many kings have abdicated their responsibility. They've just, you know, just walked away from the kingship. Many parents have walked away from their children. And so how I handle my sphere of influence, the influence I have, my family, my neighborhood, my children, those that God brings into my life, how I handle that, I'm responsible for toward God. And so are you. You have a kingdom responsibility. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, we're all called to leadership, right? We all have a leadership responsibility in some capacity. And so we're called to surrender our lives to God. The Bible teaches us about leadership and spiritual authority, and how all authority is under God. All authority. And so since all authority is under God, we must surrender our authority, even the leadership authority that God gives us, we must surrender it back to Him. You know, what do I say all the time, guys? God has a way. Isn't that right? God has a way. And it ain't nothing like our way. Isn't that right? Man's got a way and God's got a way. You know, you think about your family, you know, you think about your culture, your neighborhood, your nation, your city. You know, human beings have ways. You know, you go into different cities or you go into different cultures, you'll see they have different ways. You know, a lot of times we have wars, you know, which are based on our different ways. I don't see it your way. You don't see things my way. You don't do things my way. You know, but God's got a way too. And our first responsibility is to surrender ourselves to His ways. Amen. You know? To recognize that God's got a way, and we got to find out what that is. So that we can surrender ourselves to His way. Amen?
Amen.
Well, many people, one of my observations through life is that many people are attracted to leadership. Many people. Many people are attracted, like it looks good, you know? Looks good. The person standing up there speaking. Somebody, you know, in a lot of cultures, somebody's carrying their bags and somebody's doing this for them and doing that for them. And, you know, they hold their Bible like a certain kind of way and they walk a certain, you know, and they've got all of these little rituals about how they do leadership, you know. Ain't got nothing to do with that. Ain't got nothing to do with that. Three-piece suits and all, you know what I'm saying. Because we could do it in our jeans, right?
Amen.
We could really do this gospel in jeans, you know. Overalls. Plaid shirts. We really could. It really don't take all that. But see, in certain environments, they think that's what it is. If you're dressed up in a three-piece suit, you know, all nice, then you really got it. And if you just got on jeans, well, he's just, you know. I really wanted to wear my jeans for this. I really did. But my wife told me I couldn't. My wife. Isn't that right? Tell me I couldn't. I couldn't wear jeans. Pastor Kyle got on jeans, though. See, he knows what I'm talking about. Isn't that right? It don't take all that. All right, you say. All right, you can come do it. Well, many are attracted to leadership because they're attracted to some of the, you know, some of the benefits, some of the perks. You know, people are often attracted to leadership. You know, they want to put on a collar and they want to walk with their head in the air and do all those kinds of things.
That's true.
And have no idea of the sacrifice that true leaders of God must make. Because true godly spiritual leadership, it is not about the benefits. It's about service. Look at Jesus Christ. You think he came down here for some he came down here to lead for some benefit to him? I mean, think about it. You think about the bottom line. It was service, service, service. It was give, give, give. It was not like being honored in any kind of way. He wasn't even, I mean, even his disciples didn't really honor him for what he came to do as a leader. And he told us that if you want to be first in this, grab a towel. Be the first one to get on your knee and grab a towel and serve. Because it's about service. It's not about personal benefits. The authentic call to leadership in gospel ministry comes with a sense of gratitude. First, gratitude. Gratitude about the call. Like God would call me.
Right.
Like I could do it. You know, gratitude about the call. You know, but it also comes with a certain, you know, sense of like, I don't know if I could do it. You know? And true to fact, we really cannot. I mean, you know, what we're called to do, we can't do. We cannot do it of our own.
Amen.
You know, all we do is stand there and God does it through us.
Yeah.
That's what we're to do. To volunteer ourselves to be there and let God do it for us.
Amen.
Because anything else is filled with flesh. Anything else is filled with flesh. The authentic call comes with a deep sense of gratitude, but uneasiness in how to fulfill the call. Authentic Christian leaders have a spirit of Christ with mercy, compassion, and willingness to enter into people's lives. Now, sometimes, I'm sure you've known sometimes, I mean, I remember a case specifically. We were in New Jersey, and a man had driven a good long distance to come to a meeting and bring a sick child and wanted ministry from a very well-known Christian leader, and they just didn't have time for him. They just didn't have time. Nobody would pray for him or his daughter, and they were just done. He preached, and they were done. Authentic Christian ministry has compassion, willingness to get involved in people's lives. You know, some leaders, you know, they just no, they don't meet with you. Everything is in the public meeting. They don't meet. One of the things I've seen about shepherds, did a little study on shepherds some years back, and shepherds, they lead the flock. They lead the entire flock. And every once in a while, they go and sit on a rock. They go and sit on a rock out in the pasture, and they have each one of those sheep come by. Each one comes by, and he checks them over, checks their eyes, make sure there's no disease in their eyes, checks their ears, make sure no tick goes through their fur, brushes them off, pets them on the butt, spends them on, and calls for the next one. Because true leadership requires, yes, you must lead the flock, but you have to tend to each individual one.
That's right.
Otherwise, they can get sick right in the midst of the flock.
Oh my God, that's good, Pastor Larry. Say that again.
Yeah, you were that loud. And it's all right. They can get sick right in the midst of the flock.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have any tender, loving care of a compassionate, caring shepherd.
Amen.
That's what it takes to thrive and grow. That's what it takes. So as a leader, as a shepherd, you have to have time for people. You have to have time. You have to have care. You have to have compassion. You have to have, listen, one of the things as a leader, one of the things as a leader is that you have to be able to look at somebody. I don't want to pick you. I want to pick somebody who ain't going to get offended or whatever. You know? I don't want to offend nobody. But you have to be able to look at somebody and see the mess they're in. You know, I have to pick a leader, you know. See the mess they're in, but yet you can see past the mess into their best.
Amen.
You see? Into their best.
That's right.
To be able to look at somebody and their life is jacked up right now. And most people won't give them the time of day. But you can look at them and you can see what they're in, but yet you can see so far past that. You know why? Because sometimes they can't see far past where they're sitting right now. They can't see nothing else but what they're experiencing right now. And you have to see it for them and minister it to them.
Amen.
That's what a leader does. I remember, I always tell this story. I want to tell it again, okay? I'm going to tell it. You know I'm going to tell it, right? I remember I watched this movie one time. I hadn't been able to find it. I got the movie, and I don't just never have time to go back to it because I got what I had to get out of it. Movie called Glory. And Denzel Washington was the actor in this movie. And there's one thing I remember about the movie. And the only thing I remember about this movie is this one scene where they were lost. They were going somewhere. I don't even remember all the details. But they were lost. And Denzel Washington was the leader, and it was in the night, and it was dark, and they were lost, and they didn't know where they were. And Denzel Washington was the leader, and he figured out what they should do, and he reached back and said, "Come on!" Yes. That's what a leader does.
Amen.
I know the way to go. Right up here in Gettysburg on the battlefield. Right up here in Gettysburg on the battlefield, there's a statue of a soldier, a leader, and he's doing the exact same thing as that. It's almost like Denzel Washington picked his pose from the man on this statue. I saw it last year, right up here on the battlefield. He says, "Come on, let's go. I know the way to go." That's what a leader has to do. Because the people are lost. Well, how are you going to know the way to go if you don't know the way to go? How are you going to lead people if you don't know the way to go? You see? And that's why others may get involved in all kinds of activities. They may spend their time with this and with that. They may allow this in their lives and that in their lives. They may be busy with this and busy with that. They've got time for this and they've got time for that. Others may. But you may not. You may not. You see, lives are at stake. Lives are at stake. Lives are at stake because, you know, if you give yourself to the study of the Word, time in prayer, time listening to God. When I say time in prayer and time listening to God, I mean, you know, so much of our prayer is talking. And I'd imagine that some of our prayer time needs to be listening. You know, you think about it, you're having a conversation with somebody, they know more than you know. They know more than you know. Amen. Should you be talking? Prayer is communicating with God. Being in communication with God. I think I'd rather be listening. Yes. I'd rather be listening. Compassion. Leaders have to have compassion for people. You know, when I look at Jesus' ministry, you know, so many times in the New Testament, it says, "And Jesus, filled with compassion, reached out his hand and healed them." Amen. Filled with compassion. Leaders have to have compassion. Because without compassion, all of these people and their problems, and they always call in and they need this and they need that. It's just, I wish they would go somewhere. That's how some leaders do leadership, right? Just, you know, some leaders have a whole system set up designed to send the people somewhere else.
Yes, that's true.
They have a whole system set up, designed to send the people somewhere else. Don't bring all that mess to me. We'll set up a program for you to go to them and go to them. But how can you lead?
Wow. Praise God.
You know, it's you spend time with God and the grace and mercy of God. You know, you see what God has done in your life. You know what I'm saying? You see what God has done in your life. And you know the impossibilities that God has wrought in your life. You know? And then you can look at somebody else and he can do it for you too. He can do it for you too. He can do it for you. No, he can't. Look what he's done with me. But if you ain't got no nothing.
Amen.
You send them to somebody else. Send them to somebody else. And so a leader, so, you know, so when I say others will, others may is what I say. Others may, in fact they will, you may not. See, I'm not specifically talking about things that are sinful.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Man.
I'm not specifically saying, you know, others may sin and you may not sin. I'm just like qualifying and prioritizing. How would you as a leader, recognizing the potential that you have, recognizing the lives that could be saved by you, but by God being able to use you. I mean, God is able. By you allowing yourself the availability of God to use you, if you were so inclined to prepare yourself. If you were so, like, how are you going to minister the word of God to somebody about healing if you don't know nothing about it? How are you going to be ministering the word of God to somebody about finances if you don't even know what the word of God says about finances? How you going to minister the word of God to somebody about deliverance from emotional suffering if you don't know nothing about it? You don't even know if God could do it. How you going to minister to somebody else? How you going to even get it for yourself? So, personally, I believe as a leader, I believe that my responsibility as a leader is to be so immersed in the Word of God. There are a lot of philosophies of men. You know, there's a lot of philosophy. But I believe as a leader that we must be so immersed. You know, you see, the Holy Spirit told me one time that every situation I encounter, every problem I could be challenged with, the answers for them are in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, the Holy Spirit told me that. Okay, it's in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So with that, I said, okay, let me see if I can prove it wrong. Prove all things, right? Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can come up to a situation that I can't get an answer from the Word. I ain't got one yet. I'm honest with you, okay? I haven't come across one yet. Even when, you know, as a pastor, obviously I'm dealing with not only my own life situations, but I'm dealing with the life situations of others. I ain't come up with one yet. Okay? I ain't come up with one yet. Now, I have come up with the situation of people that have life situations and they don't have the answer yet. They don't have it. I got the answer, but they don't have the answer yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying by that is some, you know, what I have observed is that people don't generally necessarily believe the word.
That's the truth.
I'm talking about Christian people. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily generally believe that the word has an answer for them. Even when you read it to them, they will, you know, yeah, that all sounds good, but... You understand what I'm saying? But. Because they got some kind of but that says, well, that might not necessarily be so. But I believe the Word of God. I believe. I just made up my mind, and that came from a decision. That didn't come. If I were to be honest with you, I would have to tell you, I didn't necessarily believe the Word of God because of all these answers that came or whatever. I just made up my mind, somewhere along the line, I made up my mind that God is, according to Hebrews 11, that God is, that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and that my responsibility was to diligently seek his word, and that if I made up my mind to believe his word, I would see those things come to pass.
Amen.
In my life.
Amen.
I just made up my own mind.
Amen.
To believe it. You understand what I'm saying? I said, well, you know, because you know about you have situations in your life and you stand on the word for something and then it don't happen. No, nobody. Anybody?
Amen.
Anybody?
Yes.
It didn't happen the way you thought it was all going to like work out. You had a little idea about how it should work. And then it didn't happen. He said, well, I don't know if I can believe it. Well, you don't say that because we don't do that in the church. If you say that at home to yourself, I don't know if I can believe this word then. You know, and so what I came to understand is that when the word don't come to pass, ain't nothing wrong with the word.
Right.
Okay, ain't nothing wrong with the word. Okay? You see? You know, something wrong. Is this the right Bible? Is this King James authorized version? What version is this? I came to understand that I have a general principle that God tells you what your life should be like in His Word. He tells you, you know, mm-hmm. you live my way, then these are the results you get. Mm-hmm. If you live the enemy's way, these are the results you get. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, like, you know, fearless moral inventory. Anybody know what a fearless moral inventory is? Mm-hmm. Anybody not know? You know, okay, that's okay. I knew some of you wouldn't know. Some of you know because you've heard me say it before.
Yes.
I expect that. And I expect that some of you won't know because you've heard me say it before. Fearless moral inventory is where you do a fearless moral inventory. where you do You take an honest look at yourself. Take a look at your heart. Take a look at your attitude. Take a look at your beliefs. Take a look at, you know, the things that your heart goes out after. Take a look at your thoughts. I mean, like, be for real. I mean, we in this game for real, aren't we?
Amen.
I'm saying game, but I'm just gaming. I mean, we in this thing for real, aren't we? So if we're in it for real, then we ought to do a real for real look.
Amen.
At who we are.
Amen.
Before God. You know, this is the kind of thing where you might take off some time away from everybody and get away. Because, you know, in your normal daily life, you're so busy. You got so many things to do. So many people calling on you. So many people pulling on you. You got, you know, the boss wants you to work overtime. This, that, you know, your grandmother's calling. She needs you to go to the store for her. And you got so many things to do that you really don't have a lot of time to really think about. And so, you know, we get up and we're on motor mouse. You know, you just go. Somebody, right? Amen. Somebody wants something. Somebody's pulling on you all the time.
Amen.
You know? And then we take time and we go on vacation and that's just another riot. You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like that was supposed to be the time we was resting. But then, you know? So like, when do we ever say, like, I'm going to take time out for God and me?
Right.
Me, you know, God, you know, He's the number one important one. So I'm going to stop everything and take time out for God and me. You know, it would seem to me, you know, well, for I have the fortune of being able to spend unlimited. When I say unlimited, that's a relative term. Unlimited time in the Word. And I say it's a fortune. Some of you have the same fortune. You may have not have found it yet. Some of you may have the same fortune. You may not have found it yet. Okay? You have the same fortune. Okay? To be able to organize my life in a way that the Word comes first.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So that means I have to, on purpose, push some other things out. Mm-hmm. Say no. Say no. But I have that as a fortune. I call it a fortune. Because having unlimited time, when I say unlimited time in the Word, what I mean is like I can get as much of the Word as I want. You know what I'm saying? And get as much of the Word as I want. And so whatever the subject matter is, I explore it. any subject that comes up. I want to know every single scripture that speaks on that subject. Every single one of them. You know why I want to know every single one of them? Because I've seen people take one scripture out of the word and misinterpret what God's saying because they only got one scripture. You know? So, to me, it's a and it is a fortune in like treasury kind of terms. It is a fortune. The word of God is like riches. I commend you to the word of God.
Amen.
I commend you. Others may have time for all kinds of other pursuits. But if you are a leader of God, you've got to know what he's saying.
Amen.
You've got to read his directions of what he's saying to you.
Yes.
You know, God says a lot of things in general to everybody, you know, because generally we're all alive, right?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like we're all alive, right?
Yes.
Hello?
Right.
We're all alive. So in general, God says a lot of things in general to all alive people. But see, I'm more than just alive. I'm a person.
Amen.
So God also says something specifically to my personhood. You'll find them. You'll find them in the Word. Okay? You'll find it in the Word. So others may have time for all kinds of things. All kinds of parties and all kinds of, you know, movies and all kinds of, you know, things. But I challenge you that you don't have that time. You don't have that time. You don't have that time for your own life. You don't have that time for your children's lives. Your daughter is meeting a guy right now. What am I saying? You get it?
Yes.
Your son is walking around the corner right now. You don't have time. Because if you don't have it, how are you going to give it to your children? You know, if you don't have it, you don't have the answers for life's challenging questions. So others may. You may not. Turn to the first page. The page after. The page that comes after the table of contents. So it's page 2 actually. And this is about personal preparation for leadership. You know, I don't really have a lot of new things to say. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have any, like, great new revelation that God hasn't revealed a long time ago to us. You know? And so I'm going to say again, the heart of a godly leader demands love and compassion for others that will get involved in the mess of people's lives. You got to get involved in people's lives. A love that will confront out of a security drawn from personally knowing God. Not only knowing God, but knowing his ways, his word, his purposes for our lives. See, if you have an insecurity about who God is and what he says, then you might hesitate to say something to somebody. You'll hesitate, you know. You'll hesitate to tell somebody something because you're not sure about it yourself. But if you have clarity, I love the word of God, I'll tell you. The word of God, you know, you could be talking to somebody and they say something crazy to you. Like, you know, they say something crazy, you say, that ain't right. You know? That ain't, I know what the word of God says. That ain't it.
Yeah.
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 You know, well maybe God just didn't want me to, you know. No, that's not, no. God does want wants you to be successful. God does want you to be healed. God does want you to be prosperous. God does want you to be saved. Well, maybe God just didn't want my son to be saved. Oh, no.
Amen.
Well, how come the devil? It's like the devil. When you have clarity in the knowledge of God, you can speak the word of God, and you can speak the declarations, and you can say to people, you know, yeah, what's going on in your life is a result of what you're doing, what you've been doing. You know, you've had a long history of sin, and these are the results of it.
Amen.
And you got saved yesterday, and...
Yeah.
God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Every call of God is a call to leadership. You must make every effort to hear the voice of God and respond to the call of God and sharpen your sword as you go about making disciples. You know, in 2 Timothy 2:2, can somebody read that for me? 2 Timothy, you got your Bibles, right? This is a Bible meeting. 2 Timothy 2 and chapter 2. Christine, you got it? Can you get it?
Yes, sir.
2 Timothy 2:2. Read it loudly for me, please.
And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
Paul, speaking to Timothy, says the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, teach them to faithful men who will also teach others. Do the same thing. So here's Paul, a spiritual leader, speaking to Timothy, his son in ministry. Things you heard of me among many others?
Many
faithful witnesses, a faithful man. He said, teach to other men. And so, you know, I created a star. I don't have a blackboard, but I do have a blackboard. I don't have any chalk. I created a star, and this is what it looks like. Paul, he's teaching Timothy among many others, and Timothy is to teach others to do the same thing. You see that? That's what the gospel is. That's what the gospel is. Because we are, you know, there's always leadership over you in the gospel. There's always leadership over you. You should be amongst peers. You should be amongst peers, a peer assembly. But then each of you has a responsibility to minister to others, to raise up disciples, and to teach them to do the same thing. Do you get that?
Amen.
Each of us has that responsibility to be an example of your leadership, and to be in accountability with peers, with peers. Amen. Apples and pears and bananas, right? Okay. To lead and develop student leaders, you must personally be committed to certain disciplines. And I have some scriptures here for you. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 and 7, 1 Peter 5, 1 to 3, and Philippians 3, 17 to 20. Be followers and be examples to others, that we must feed the flock and be an example. And as a leader, you can follow other leaders who follow Christ. A part of this is personal preparation, a commitment to learn God's ways. There must be a commitment to learn God's ways and the nature of biblical principles of full leadership. Jesus says, come unto me and learn of me. So we have to learn, amen? You have to learn. It's not like, okay, you got saved and you know everything. Some people act like that. They just got saved and they already know. You start talking to them, it's, I know. Well, it seems to me, well, my way of thinking is, learn, amen? Have a sound sense of self-awareness. Now, a sound self of sense awareness, I don't mean pride, I don't mean arrogance, I don't mean self-sufficiency. But when you come to Christ and you spend time with Him in daily worship and prayer and study of the Word, you develop a sense of God's leadership in your life. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That God is in your life, that God is leading your life,
yeah.
And that you can speak up and speak the Word of God to
yes.
people. That you can get involved in other people's lives
yes.
from a godly perspective.
Amen.
You know, and you can be, you know, you can have a sense of the leadership call on your life. You know? And not always, well, I don't know, don't ask me. You know, go ask the pastor. You know, well, that's some of the reasons why some of the pastors don't want any, you know, they're overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And our responsibility is to develop leaders under us
yeah.
that can take on leadership capacity,
mm-hmm.
just like Moses did. Moses was worn out.
Mm-hmm.
Moses was worn out. Over a million people coming to him with their problems.
Mm-hmm.
And his father-in-law says, you know, share the work with some other people. Let somebody else take some of the load.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So you have to have a sense of self-awareness, or you know, the security in Christ, that God is at work in your life, that you can see that God is speaking to you, and you know you're growing in Christ and in your personal sense of God's work in your life. Willingness to risk rejection.
You've
got to be willing to risk rejection. Some people fail to lead because of something somebody said. They try to lead some people and they won't follow them. Well, you know, join Jesus' club. If Jesus had if Jesus was worried about rejection, because they rejected him, but Jesus was set for his mission. Bible says that his face was sternly set toward Jerusalem. Even when his disciples was rejecting his mission. So you got to deal with that. Or have God deal with that in you. Because, you know, people will turn and walk away from you. People will walk away. People will not take your counsel. You know. They came to you, asked you for counsel. You gave them godly counsel. And they did something different. And it's like, huh? So you have to be delivered from rejection. Amen?
Amen.
To be available and vulnerable. You know, getting involved with people's lives means that sometimes you have to share with people, look, here's what happened to me. You know, here's where I messed up. You know, here's the time where, you know, and here's what happened to me. And that's being open and being vulnerable, you know, with people about your own life. You know, and yeah, sometimes people can take that information and, you know, mess over it. But so what? You know, you honestly shared with them about your situation. You know, my life is in God's hands. And I've turned it over to God. And whatever, you know, I've just come to the place of saying, of, you know, believing, you know, whatever. You know, I'm serving God, whatever. You understand what I'm saying? I'm serving God, whatever. I you know, you try to help people. You know, some people will reject you, you know, but you give them your all. Because that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. Some will be grateful and be delivered and be transformed as a result of your ministry, and some will just find fault with you. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Some will just find fault. And so you have to be delivered. Amen?
Amen.
Clarity of vision. Now, last week we were talking with Luke 14, where Jesus said, who goeth to build a tower unless he sits down and counts the cost? What king would go to war with 10,000 men and he got somebody coming at him with 20 unless he sits down and counts the cost? Well, he might sit down and say, I got 10, but I got 10 swift men. I got 10 able ministers. I got 10 men that could whip those 20,000. Well, he might say, no, these guys, they ain't ready yet. We better make a deal with them. But he sits down and figures it out, right? So with clarity of vision, you have to sit down before you stand up. So often, people stand up for leadership. I've seen this situation, people standing up, volunteering to do something, and they haven't counted the cost. And then you're relying on them, and they're not there. They're not there anymore, because they never counted the cost. So I say, nope, I need a volunteer to do this. No, don't raise your hands yet. Think about it. Now, it really would be good if you were prepared and you raised your hands and you were committed when your hand was raised. But so often, people don't even know what the requirement is and they're standing up for a task that they don't, they don't have the commitment to perform. I'm not talking about ability, I'm talking about commitment. Amen? So I'm saying, sit down. Count the cost before you stand up to take responsibility. Is that good?
It's good.
Is that good? Amen. Amen. Know who you are, know whose you are, where you are, and where you're going. Amen? That's clarity of vision. And in my B section is personal growth. Personal preparation, personal growth. A desire to be a lifelong learner. I think that's one of the leadership principles. We got all this TV and internet and DVDs and everything, and nobody reads today. Very, very little reading, And if you're going to excel in leadership, you're going to have to. And I'm not saying that you can't get things from DVDs and movies, because my wife and I are in a situation now where anything we're looking at, we're drawing from, even if it's a movie. There's some spiritual principle to be gained. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. And so, personal growth. If leadership, then leadership material. If it's children's ministry, then you're probably going to be drawn to material on children's ministry, right? You want to know about it. What is he saying? What is she saying? How can we best, train our children in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because if that's your area where you've stood up for leadership, then that's your area that you're going to be consuming more and more. If it's evangelism, if you're an evangelist and God has called you to evangelism, then you're going to want to be, growing and learning in that area. Whatever your capacity of service is, grow in it. So often, I heard a pastor talking about this a few years ago. She was saying that one of the things that she had been experiencing, and I see it too, is that so often when she believes she has a word of instruction or information, knowledge for somebody, she can't get them to shut up long enough to hear it. Because they're so busy saying, I know, or they want to tell her something, or they're talking instead of listening. And put yourself in a place where people have what you need. You listen. Listen. Listen, God uses men and women. God uses men and women to speak to us. So we got to listen to hear. Amen?
Amen.
So you need to be a lifelong learner. You need to make a decision. Now this is an area I talked about a little bit earlier. Making a decision that God's ways are sound and established in your life. What does that mean? What do I mean by that? You have to make a decision. See, that's the part I talked about earlier where I said, I already decided already, even if I didn't understand it. You know what I'm saying? Even if I don't understand the word of God, I just, this is the word of God. You know, you're the dumb one. You know, this is the word of God. Because sometimes you look at the word of God and say, well, that's dumb. You know, it's dumb because you don't understand it, you know. But who's dumb? You know what I'm saying? So I had just had to come to the place of deciding that the word of God is the word of God. And I got to adjust myself to the word and stop trying to adjust the word to me. I remember the day. I was a teenager. And I remember the day. Teenager brought up in the church. And I remember the day. I decided. I'm a little bit more than teen right now. But I remember the day. I mean, this is so important. This is so important. I remember the day that I decided that I had spiritual inclinations. I was a teenager. I was about 16, 17. I had spiritual inclinations because I was brought up in the church. You know, I tell children all. I remember telling my son that you can't do what them boys do. You stand out. You don't even look like them. You can't act like them. You can't look like them because you were brought up to be a child of God.
Amen.
So you might be, you know, pants down and popping and doing all these kind of foolish things, but you look stupid. Because I held you up and dedicated you to God.
Right.
Act the fool if you want. Well, my mother, you know, did that for me too, you know, helped me up before God. And I remember the day that I said, you know, I have religious inclinations, you know, and but I like to, got my old ways too, you know. I like to smoke marijuana. So I know a religion that lets me smoke marijuana while I can still have my religious inclinations. So I became a rasta. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
See? And see, human beings have ways of making sense of their religion.
That's right.
And so they have ways of adjusting. See? Now that was very important to me. I mean, it's very important to me now as I'm ministering to others, because I recognize that you can rationalize your way straight to hell.
Say that.
You can rationalize your way out of the things of God.
That's right.
It makes sense to you.
It makes sense to you
to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But all you're really doing is your own ways.
Oh my God.
Because Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, you all can probably quote it now. The paraphrase version says, God's got a way, and I got my ways, and they are far apart. Ain't nothing like God's way. But yet, we got clickety, clickety, click. We got it all rationalized in our head. That's a drastic example. See, I'm giving you an example of my own stuff. Okay? So I know, if I could do that, you probably been doing it too.
You probably need to get to living.
Yeah, you've been doing it too. In some ways. I know God says to forgive, but. I know. You don't know my husband. You don't know what he did to me. You don't know what I've been through. I can't.
That's
good. 15 seconds left. Okay, so you've got to make a decision to do things God's way. You've got to, you know, learn humility. You know, pride, you know, there's nowhere in this gospel for pride. And then you've got to have a clear understanding of some doctrine. I meet people who have religious inclinations, just like me. They don't know no word, though. You know, so they say things that are totally off, you know, totally off, because they just don't know the word. You know, they know religion. You know, there's a lot of things in religion. You know, for people that don't know, their whole church is based on religion, which are based primarily in man's ways, not in the word. So I'm commending you to the word. You've got to know, you've got to know the basics. What are the basics? What are the foundational truths of the doctrine of Jesus Christ? Anybody know them? Hebrews 6:1-2. Okay, we got work to do. Repentance, faith towards God, baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection, eternal judgment. Hebrews 6:1-2. That's one you ought to know. Okay, there are many things, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. You know, you ought to know Romans 8. Romans 8 is powerful for deliverance. Amen. Romans 12:1-2. You know, there are certain things we ought to know. If you're going to be a leader, lead out in this. Lead out in knowing the word.
That's right.
You know, you got lead out in knowing the word. Because otherwise you're going to lead people astray. You're going to lead people astray. Amen?
Amen.
So much more. I can't give you all of that. But, you know, there are, you know. So like, where do you have time for? What's the new movie that's out right now?
The Three Stooges is out.
Is that right? Where do you have time for the Three Stooges?
Act like a lady?
Where do you have time? Well, you ought to act like a lady. But I'm saying, where do you have time?
No, they ain't part of it.
Where do you have time for all of that mess? And you don't know the word. It's like, you know. Well, some of you know I used to participate in libations. And so when they asked me, you know, if somebody asked me if I want a drink, I said, no, I had enough. I don't have to tell them. I don't drink no more, man. You know, I'm a Christian now. I don't have enough of me and you. I had enough of that. I had enough movies. Already, I had enough movies, you know. I had enough story. If I want a story, I got a story. I got a lot of stories right here. These are life-giving stories.
Amen.
Doug Jones said that every word has a life in it. Every word has a life in it. It's either a life or a death life. These are like, you don't even have to like, let's look at these and see if they like lives or death lives. We don't even have to do that because we know this is the word of God.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Amen. Hold fast to it. My last little segment has to do with personal relationship skills and the ability to confront lovingly. Gotta grow in that area. What are you laughing for? The ability to confront lovingly. You know, how do you confront lovingly? Because normally our knowledge of confrontation is like, it ain't too loving, right? It's like an oxymoron, is it, Mike? But the ability to confront lovingly means that you can take a stand on some issues and you don't have to get mad about it.
Amen.
You can take a stand. You're just standing.
Amen.
Standing on truth, right?
Amen.
The ability to the courage to take a loving stand, loving being the key word. And I put here develop as a skill and not to be afraid, you know. I'm referencing John 3 and John 4, and that is his interview with Nicodemus and the woman at the well. That's what I'm referencing there. But you notice Jesus still compassionate, still loving, sensitive, you know, but not people pleasing. You know? But able to confront, able to get up in Nicodemus' face and say, bro, you must be born again.
Yes.
You gotta be born again. You ain't never gonna get it. Well, how am I supposed to go back in my mother's womb? No. Let the Spirit of God be birthed inside you. So ability to, in your personal relationships, the ability to confront lovingly, to have in-depth relationships, just like Paul and Timothy, and then the peer relationships, and then other relationships, the ability to really get involved with people, and then insight. This is something also that a leader must develop, insight. And insight, when I say develop, I mean you really, you know, I would say you really gather it from the Word. You know, you gather it from the Word and by the Spirit, where you get insight. Because this, again, goes back to the part I was talking about, people coming to you and they're saying things and they're not based on the Word. And, you know, and you're able to see, you know, especially when you're ministering to people with deep life situations, and you're able to see, and very often they're telling you about something, and you know by the Spirit of God that that's not it. You understand what I'm saying? And insight helps you to pierce through the veil and get to the root, the heart, or the root of the matter. You understand what I'm saying? Where some deliverance can happen. Because people will come to you, and they're telling you about what they think the problem is, and they're emoting about it, you know, they're emotional or whatever, or they're, you know, they could be, you know, in unforgiveness, or they could be fearful or whatever, you know, and you know, and they're coming to you, and it's all of this, and it's a lot of drama, you know, and you've got to be able to not get sucked into, you know, the winds that are blowing, and get into the root of the matter. That's the kind of insight that I'm talking about. Otherwise, you can meet with them and meet with them and meet with them, and there'll never be any deliverance. Because you're not dealing with any roots.
Amen.
You're only dealing with the fruits. You know, and we call that what? A fruit picking.
Yes, sir.
We call that fruit picking. You know, we're just, you know, I don't like these fruits. I don't like these fruits. You know, so what we said, you know, you look at your life. This is a part of first moral inventory. This is part of first moral inventory. Okay? You look at your life. Look at the trends of your life. Look at the outcomes that come out of your life. Bad relationships, all that. You're always losing your job. You're always in some financial problem. You know, always in a battle or unforgiveness with somebody. Look at the fruits of your life. And when you look at the fruit, this is part of the fearless moment. When you look at the fruits of your life, you start to see, you know, good fruits, good positive outcomes, and bad fruits. You know, negative outcomes, bad things happening in your life. Things that you wouldn't prefer, put it that way. When you look at, you know, so if you just try to fruit pick, you know, you just try to fix this, fix that, fix this, fix that, fix this, fix that. You know? But say, you know, maybe we need to step back and say, why does all this stuff have a right to exist in my life? I'm a Christian. Why does all this stuff keep happening over and over and over again? Well, to do that, you've got to go back to the root.
Amen.
You see that?
Yes.
To do that, in order to stop, because you pick all the bad fruits up, you fix everything. You know, you got a finger here, a finger there, you got a toe here, you know, you got everything fixed. And something else pops out and you don't have another finger. Right? You know, like, ow!
You have to let it go and say, Lord, take me to the root. And when you get to the root, you know, the whole, you know, we have a thing that we use where we say, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to enter into the garden of my heart. See, you give the Holy Spirit permission to enter in and say, Lord, take me to the root of these matters. And Holy Spirit, I give you permission to dig up any bitter roots.
My God.
I give you permission, see, to dig up any bitter roots that are harbored in my heart, that are growing in the garden of my heart, so that I can be released to serve you in freedom. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's do it now. Let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do it. And even as we're talking, some of you may be thinking of areas of your life where there's been some bitterness, some fruit that you don't particularly desire to continue to manifest in the garden of your heart. And even right now, Holy Spirit, and just collectively, Holy Spirit, we give you permission to enter into the garden of our hearts, Lord God. If there's any unforgiveness in our hearts, any bitterness, Lord God, that has manifested, that has rooted in our hearts, Lord, Holy Spirit, we give you permission, Lord. We give you permission, Lord God, to root out, Lord God, to root out, to pluck down, Lord God, to destroy, Lord God, every bitter root that's in our heart, oh God, that you may manifest a garden of sweetness, of beautiful flowers, Lord God, of productivity, Lord God, of prosperity, oh God, of loving relationships, oh God, that you may manifest your garden in our hearts and in our lives. Lord God, we recognize when you pluck up those bitter roots, Lord God, that tree dries up, Lord God, and that you're able to bring forth a harvest, Lord God. Some 30, some 60, but we're looking for 100. That we might glorify you, God. That we might glorify you. Lord God, others may, but we've decided that we will not. We will not. That we will attend ourselves unto your word, unto your will, and unto your ways. We love you, Lord. We love one another. We pray as we continue, Lord God, this conference, this seminar, Lord God, this time set aside, Lord God, we pray that you continue, Lord God, to pour into our hearts, Lord God, right in this garden, Lord God, this place that we've set aside to be sacred for you, that we may produce fruit to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.